Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or a teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.HearGod'sWord@Bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other
ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into it.
I just want to thank you and praise your Father for what you've done in this service. I want to thank your Father not only for what you've done, but for how you've used so many people, Father, to manifest your edification within the life of this church, Father. We come right now, Lord, asking you to forgive us of our sins, wash us and cleanse us, that we might be in right fellowship with you, Father. That we might hear your word, Father. And that we might be doers of your words and not just hearers. So, Father, we come and commit our hearts, our minds, and our souls unto you. Speak, Lord, for we need to hear from you. Speak, Lord, that we may know, Father, that we didn't hear from a preacher, but that we've heard from God. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen, and praise the Lord, amen, and praise the Lord. Give God a hand clap of praise. Bethlehem, oh, that sounds really good. We're in the last 2 weeks of this year of 2011. And this whole year, we have been dedicated to know him. This year of 2012, we're going to be resolved to make him known. And we're going to exercise making him known next week. Can anybody tell me what next week is? Okay, and there's something else going on next week. Share the love Sunday. And we want you to share the love and make him known by inviting all of your family and friends out to be in the household of the Lord as we began to make him known. Because if you know him, you'll want to make him known. Anything that's good in your life, you make known. If it's a piece of barbecue that you can buy and you love that barbecue, you're going to make that place known. Hello, somebody. Anything that has been beneficial to you, you don't have a problem talking about. Hello, somebody. So we want to make him known this next Sunday because we know him. Now, if you don't know him, if you think he's just he's in the mix with Frosty, and if he's in the mix with Rudolph, and if you think it's a Charlie Brown Christmas, then you don't know him. And we pray that you can get to know him today. Amen? Bethlehem? Amen. We're continuing in the month of where Paul challenged us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live, on those who live as we do. We've been challenging you throughout this month to follow this example. We started out talking about a soldier for Christ. We talked about being an athlete for Christ. We talked about being a farmer for Christ. All of which have to suffer for their various duties. A soldier doesn't entangle himself in the things of this world. Because he's only interested in how he can please his commanding officer. And we're going to see next week whether we're going to be tangled in the things of this world or whether we're going to celebrate Christ's birthday the way that it should be celebrated. Yeah. Are you going to be a soldier for Christ? Are you going to be an athlete for Christ? An athlete, no athlete gets in a race and not want to win the race. Just like some of you are so competitive, you if you're playing Uno, you want to win. Hello, somebody. And one of the worst things to see is Christian folk and competitive tasks, because you may not see that they're really Christian. Hello, somebody. Because they forget their Christianity because they want to win. Hello, somebody. I'm one of them, by the way. But we have to be as competitive about the things of Christ and making him known. We have to be like that farmer, and we studied on Wednesday night that farming is hard work. Some of you are like me. The only place you pick your cotton was Neiman Marcus, but cotton comes from the farms, and it's some hard work to be a farmer. And God has called us to do some hard work for the Lord. You see, your Christian faith is not just about a Sunday morning. It's about a Sunday morning, a Sunday evening, a Sunday in the middle, a Sunday when you wake up, a Monday morning. It's about every breath you take for the Lord. And that's what that should be your commitment to him. And saying all of this, as we challenge you to live as we do, we want to ask that you offer a better sacrifice this morning. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, I can give a better sacrifice. Now don't lie in the church now. That's the morning's title of the message, is a better sacrifice. We're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 4. Would you please stand in reverence to the word of God? Stand symbolically saying that I will stand on the word of God. I will stand on the word of God. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4, NIV. Let's read this. Yeah, chapter 11. Let's read this out loud together at the same time on three. One, two, three. Amen. You may be seated in the household of the Lord. We're talking about this morning a better sacrifice. A better sacrifice. And we're going to preach on around 3 points as the Holy Spirit allows us. We're going to talk about a faith that supposes, a faith that sacrifices, and a faith that speaks. A faith that supposes, a faith that sacrifices, and a faith that speaks. We want you to know this morning that Christians should be a better model of a better sacrifice. Christians should be a model of a better sacrifice. And this text today is a text that's very familiar with most of us who grew up in the church. This text is called the Hall of Fame of Faith. Because in this text you read about those who were champions for God. In this text, it is a place where faith is manifested in a very practical way, and we have models of people who believed in God and did what God told them to do. Many different models. So if you want a model of faith, this is a great text to read. A model of faith. It's also a text, not only does it show the model of faith, but it also gives us the definition of faith. And in this definition of faith, to the human mind, it's irrational. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Right.
So you're saying, preacher, that I manifest faith out of nothing. Because you said faith is the substance of what I'm hoping for. I don't have anything but hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it's an evidence. It's proof of what I cannot see. A faith by itself doesn't mean much, but you got to remember that this is faith in God. The same God who stepped out of nothing, spoke and created the world, as the Bible tells us in that Hebrew word, ex nihilo, being able to create something out of nothing. So faith supposes God is who he says he is. Faith supposes that he is the same God of Moses. When Moses said, whom shall I say sent me? And God told him that I am, that I am. Which meant that anything that you need, I am. It was an open check on the power of God. So when we talk about faith, faith doesn't stand alone. Faith is in God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, and we'll learn a little later in this sermon, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now the Bible talks about being a God, and it posed the question in this Christmas story. The angel posed the question to Mary, is there anything impossible for God? There's only one thing that's impossible for God. Hello, somebody. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Really, that's impossible for us to tap into his power of God, but because in order for God to work, he has to have faith. And we limit God from moving in our lives. We limit God from working at the church. We limit God because we don't have faith in him. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, or neighbor, do you have faith in God? A better sacrifice is a practical way that you show that you have faith in God. And let me put it this way, better giving. Let's talk about it in money terms. Better giving shows that you have faith in God. Let me say that again. For we're talking about chapter 4 or verse 4. By faith, Abel talked about a better sacrifice. I've been gone too long. What did the word say? Offered, not talked. Hello, somebody. Somebody better wake up this morning, because you're about to get led astray. By faith, Abel thought about by faith. He waved over the offering plate. Hello, somebody. So you say when I wave my hand, I'm believing that I'm gonna have something to give. That's faith, huh? It works itself out in a very practical way, because if you really have faith in God, you got to put something in it. You can't wave over it like some of you were taught. I'm going to wave and believe that I'm going to be able to give one day. Hello, somebody. It's not just giving a dollar. Hello, somebody. Is that how much faith you have in God? Is a dollar? Now, if you like Grandmama and them, and Grandmama and them, they gave a dollar because they worked as maid, and when they were working as maid, and that dollar was 10% of what they were making. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Is there anybody in here that has a job that when you tithe, it's only going to be a dollar? I don't think so, you see, because people don't realize that God sees through all of this faking, this jerking, all this stuff that you do. He sees through all of this praise song that you maybe say. You know, you can't praise God without a... offering. Hello, somebody. It's amazing that in this place you hear a lot of voices, but in heaven there's probably only maybe about five or six voices coming from Bethlehem, because we don't have faith. Hello, somebody. Oh, because we're not giving the way we should be giving, because we're not living the way we should be living. And as a result, when God hears this 11 o'clock service on a Sunday morning, he may not be able to hear some of y'all that got a real nice note. He may only be hearing some folk kind of like me. For the Bible says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hello, somebody. He may be hearing noise. He may not be hearing the tonnage and the babies and all of that, because we are not offering him a sacrifice. We're waving. Oh, and we're giving dollars, and we're not giving what we should be giving. Oh, for the Bible says, so much is given, much is what? Required. And some of you are like that man that was a hypocrite. Oh, and they hypocrite offering, and like they do in the big cities. Oh, they have that $10,000 line they have lined up. Some of you folk like to go visit them every once in a while. I hope you're not in this line when you visit. A $10,000 line, and they say, I'm giving today. I'm giving today. I'm giving $10,000. But you got $1 million in the bank. Hello, somebody. Hello, and there's a widow in the house that don't have much, and all she can give is a widow's mite. All she can give is her $1. Hello, somebody. And God says, now that's an offering, because she gave everything. She offered a better sacrifice. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, or neighbor, we're talking about a better sacrifice this morning. A better sacrifice. Because if you're going to give a better sacrifice, it says you have to give it by faith. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. Hello, somebody. And Cain had the audacity to be mad at him, when they both could have given a better sacrifice. There's some folk up in here that are mad at the sincere people that are giving a better sacrifice of their money. They're giving a better sacrifice of their time, a better sacrifice of their abilities. But yet,
that been hated upon. Oh, he think he all that.
All right.
It's a holy roller. Hello, somebody. But when you truly have faith in God, it is shown at the bottom line. It is shown in your giving. Hello, somebody. There's some preachers that won't let leaders lead unless they're giving right. And you know, folk know how to figure out what you should be giving, especially people who work in the area of stewardship. Hello, somebody. Each occupation makes a certain amount of money. Doctors can make more than those that work at McDonald's. Yeah. But you look at the book and see that the guy at McDonald's is giving more than the doctor. Hello, somebody. Oh, and he's offering a better sacrifice. Oh, but God wants us, if we're going to move into this new year and to do the things that God wants us to do, if we're going to celebrate Jesus' birthday right this coming Sunday, don't take his money, his sacrifice that you're supposed to be giving to him, and give it to everybody else. At my last church, Christmas landed on a Sunday, and I was so disheartened because the folk didn't show up, and guess what? They didn't leave their money either. Hello, somebody. And they didn't bring it the week after that. Hello, somebody. Which meant that they had Christmas on Christ. Ooh, that's deep. Some of y'all get that at home. Some of them, they had Christmas on Christ. In other words, it was his birthday, and he and our church didn't get a gift. He not only didn't get a gift, he didn't even get a birthday party. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Is this what we've come to in our day and time? The preacher challenged us on Wednesday night and said, we remember back in the day when Christmas landed on Sunday, you would have Christmas the night before and come and praise him and have a true Christmas on Sunday morning. Hello, somebody. But then they were a different group of people than we are. Hello, somebody. Many times all they had was God. And it was evident by the way they came to church on a Sunday morning, the way they were at church all day Sunday, BTU 3 o'clock service, and then at late the 6 o'clock service. They were about our Father's business, but we have been so blessed that many times we leave him out, and then many folk leave him out of his own party. Ooh, hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. But is this faith in God? No, this is not faith in God. Faith offers a better sacrifice. The offering really should double during the Christmas service. Ooh. Hello, somebody. After all, it's his birthday, isn't it? Hello, hello. On your birthday, do you get what you regularly get? Hello, somebody. On my birthday, I get a lot more stuff than I would normally get on any other day. Hello, somebody. And on my pastor's anniversary, I get a lot more than I normally would get. Hello, somebody. You get a better sacrifice on your day. Hello, somebody. Will we truly give God a better sacrifice this coming Christmas? Or will it be like the word and just X? It's going to be Xmas. We're going to X Christ out and do what we want to do on his birthday. Hello, somebody. That's not faith. When you X Christ out of Christmas, that's not faith. Hello, somebody. Because faith supposes a better sacrifice. Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, are you supposing this holiday season? Is your faith supposing? Hello, somebody. Lord, help me to preach this because I didn't mean to say all what I'm saying. Hello, somebody. But by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain. And by faith, God is calling us to offer a better sacrifice than Cain. Cain is a person that's religious. He has religiosity. He is a Pharisee. He's a Sadducee. He knows everything about the church. But when it comes down to the bottom line, he don't know about true faith. Somebody could be helped this morning. Somebody could be helped this holiday season, because many times, you know, I don't even preach on giving that much. I should preach on giving a lot more. I really should. One of my deacons challenged me, because not offering sacrifices to God is like not breathing. Hello, somebody. Hey, when you have issues with breathing, that means you're going to die. Hello, somebody. And I know about that firsthand. Because of sleep apnea at night. Oh, for me, you can't breathe at night, and you stop breathing. That's why you wake up so many times in the middle of the night. It's because you stop breathing, and if you don't wake up, you could die. Hello, somebody. And right now in this area of sacrificial giving, if you don't wake up, you can die. You can die. You won't have the windows of heaven opening and pouring out blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. And you're going to die because you don't have God on your side. Because you don't have God on your side. And we teach here within this church, the Old Testament principle of 10% in giving. A dime on a dollar, that's not much. And to me, that's not controversial. But to some folk, it is controversial. And it shouldn't be that controversial. Because if you don't want to give a dime on a dollar, you're going to reap what you sow. You know what? You can give more. Because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And you can give more. As a matter of fact, if you add up all the Old Testament sacrificial giving, it really added up to maybe about 24% of their income that they were giving to God. They offered to God a better sacrifice. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, can you suppose God in your finances? Because faith supposes God in our finances. Faith says, I can't make it without God. You know, and it seems cliche, but it's so true. When you recognize God in your giving and you see how God blesses you, you realize that you can't afford not to give. Hello, somebody. Oh, how much or how and why can you explain? In my own testimony, how can you explain? I have a friend of mine who had a doctorate degree, and had gotten a doctorate degree, and we were looking for a church at the same time, and I got the church before he did, and I attributed because I give to the God, to the Lord, and he opened that door. Oh, before he opened his door, you know, finances is the bottom line of what you believe in. Anything that you do, it's all in the black and white of the dollar. And this world runs off of it. And many of us, we get antsy when the preacher talks about God, at least if he's not a television preacher. Hello, somebody. Because you suppose that you can get what he have on the television. Oh, but God wants us to give a better sacrifice than what we've been giving. Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, it's tight, but it's right. It's tight, but it's right. Yeah, Reverend Russians said that. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice. He offered him a better offering. Not only did Abel do it, but Abraham did it in a very unique way. Because God told Abraham to sacrifice, to give, to offer up his son. Wow. Now, I'd rather give a dollar much more than I would give my own son. Hello, somebody. God ain't offer asking us to do what Abraham did. This was a test. This was a test of the emergency broadcast system. Hello, somebody. Because Abraham loved that boy, I believe, so much. Because he had him in his old age. He was promised to be a father of many nations. But there were many, many years where he and his wife couldn't have a baby. And at the ripe old age, Sarah probably 89 and Abraham at 99, God comes on the scene and says, I'm going to keep my promise to you. I said I would make you a father of many nations. And that's where we get that term, Father Abraham. And Reverend Ford is known as Father Abraham. Oh. But this is where we get this from. Hello, somebody. And God tested him. Let's look at the whole text in context. Hebrews 11, 17, verse 19. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. You mean after I went through all of that, all of the struggle, all of that time of believing, all of that time of not believing? As a matter of fact, when I heard about it, oh, my wife laughed. Hello, somebody. And which shows us to which God always gets the last laugh, by the way, because God had her name her son Isaac, which means what? Laughter. Hello, somebody. Don't laugh at God when it comes to sacrificing, because he will get the last laugh. Either you'll be blessed by him or you'll be cursed by him. Oh, I know for me, I want to be blessed. I don't want to give birth to a son named Isaac. I want to give birth to a son named Faith. Hello, somebody. He said, but preacher, that's a woman's name. No, that'll be a man's name. Faith. Hello, somebody. In Jesus' name. But he tested him and offered Isaac as a sacrifice, and he who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God has said to him, it is through Isaac that your offsprings will be what? Reckoned. Abraham reasoned or supposed that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Abraham believed what the Christ sung this morning. That if he wanted him to offer his son Isaac up, then God could fix what is broke. Whatever is broke, he can fix what is broke. Whatever is broke. Come on, Sister Tony, you could have got me. He said, you don't need no music. Oh, he believes that God, his faith supposed that God could fix what was broke, and what was ever required of him, he would do, because he believed that God was who he said he was, and that he would do what he said he would do. Somebody ought to give God a hand clap of praise up in here, up in here. By faith, I'm going to do whatever God requires of me. By faith, if he wants me to give a dime on a dollar, or 20 cents on a dollar, or 30 cents on a dollar, oh, there were those who really believed God and offered a better sacrifice. A man by the name of J.C. Penney gave 90% of his income to the Lord. A better sacrifice by faith. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh, neighbor. Faith supposes God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. This text is a far a preview to what God was going to do. Because faith not only supposes God, but faith sacrifices. And that's what Abel did in the text. He offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. And Abel in Genesis chapter 4 verse 4 says, but Abel brought what? The skinny portions. Abel brought God the leftovers. Abel brought God the fat portions, the best, from some of the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. And you know, we always, during our Christianity, talking about favor. Favor. We always want favor. A lot of times we don't want to do the things that it takes to get favor. Hello, somebody. We want him to be, oh, Santa Claus. We want to write a list and say, Santa Claus, this is what we want, oh, for Christmas. Oh, we want to be a Von Hopper says, we want him to be a divine bell hop to hop to our needs. Hello, somebody. No, that's not the way God works. If you want God to work for you, you've got to work for God. Hello, somebody. And if you try to stand him off, he'll win every time. Hello, somebody. You know what? Stand him off, you're going to wait him out. You can't wait God out in this principle. Hello, somebody. Either you're going to give what is best and be blessed, or you're going to continue to give the leftovers and get what you have. Amen. And some of you have some things that are very impressive, but the only problem with that is that God really could do more. Ooh, let me say that again. Hey, if you don't believe me, ask David. David, for most of us, we believe he lived a charmed life, but God says, if this wasn't enough, I could have given you more. And many of us, and we say, what is it that you want out of life? Most of us will say more. More money. Hello, somebody. More something. Hello, somebody. If you want more from God, guess what? You need to give more to God. Ooh, let me say that. Yeah. Let me say that again. If you want more from God, you need to give more to God, starting with your finances. Hello, somebody. That's the bottom line. That's an athlete, you know. And some competitive situations, you've got to pay to get in the race. Right. And a lot of gambling situations, I'm saying that you should gamble. But they have an entry fee that they have to give before they can get into. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Some of us are Canaan in the church. I didn't say you was walking with a cane in the church. I said you Canaan in the church. You can't do nothing. Can't give a 10% offering. You can't give to the building fund. You can't give to the youth. You can't give. You just can't. Hello, somebody. God wants us, as we enter into this next year, as we enter into the birth of his son, he wants us to, by faith, suppose him, and by faith, to sacrifice to him. Because faith speaks. For it says, by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. Because he gave a better sacrifice that some folk, when they died, nobody think of them. Nobody think of them. And I can say that even about my own father. You know, I never knew my father. I got to know him, I think, at 17. And got to know him 2 years, and he died. And don't you know that he doesn't even have a gravestone? Nobody thought enough of him. to give him a gravestone. Hello, somebody. That's because of the way he lived his life. He lived his life like many folk are living their life right now. Everybody. Ooh, all right. Dance, music, sex, romance, drugs, alcohol, prostitutes. Oh, he lived it up. He was very popular in this life. Oh, he had a lot of friends in this life. He treated and he gave a lot to his friends. Hello, somebody. He gave nothing to God. Hello, somebody. And his friends didn't even collect enough to give him a gravestone. But here is this example, this model of faith, oh, by the name of Abel. And the Bible says, that by faith he still speaks today. We're still speaking about him. Oh, because he gave a better sacrifice. And we speak about people in this life who give a better sacrifice. Oh, are you going to be somebody that will speak from your grave because you gave? Let me say that again. I'm not saying that you come by spooky like a ghost. Ooh, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about because of the life that you lived and what you sacrificed to the Lord, that people in this place will remember who you are. Hello, somebody. They refer to you about, there was a man, there was a song about 10, 20 years ago that says, I want to be a man you would write about a 1,000 years from now, a servant of choice, a man who found favor and a man who heard your voice. Are you living in such a way that people will talk about you, 1,000 years from now, people will speak of you? Because you heard God's voice, and as a result, you gave everything that you had, everything that he wanted you to give. All right. Hello, somebody. Some of y'all, again, you don't give him money. You don't give him your talent. All right. Hello, somebody. You don't give him your time. Hello, somebody. It's always inconvenient to do something out of the norm. Like, oh, Christmas on a Sunday morning. That's inconvenience. My family is in town. All right. Your family's in town. Bring your family to church. Hello. They might get saved. Hello, somebody. And one Christmas gift that you give this year that's going to, unless you got a Bible or something that talks about the plan of salvation, is going to save them under that tree. Hello, somebody. It would seem that we would want our family, to come to the household of the Lord, especially on Christmas, especially on Sharing Love Sunday. Because you know what? Abel was a foreshadowing of Christ. What was the riddle he said in Sunday school? What did Herod and Jesus have in common? They both shed blood. Okay? They both shed blood. Herod shed other folks' blood. But Jesus shed his own blood. That's what this season is about. Because Jesus came off the scene and offered a better sacrifice, and he would die because he would offer a better sacrifice. Abraham in this text is a model of God, and God would give his only son, and he would give his only son up to die. You see, Isaac didn't have to die, but Jesus did, and this is why we celebrate Christmas, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave a better sacrifice nobody else would do. You hear a lot about David, but David's hands was bloody. You hear a lot about Abraham, but Abraham lied all the time. You hear about Sarah, but Sarah didn't Oh, you hear about all these other saints on the pages of Scripture, and none of them was able to be better than Christ. And God gave a better sacrifice. Oh, God gave the sacrifice that's different between the chicken sacrifice and the pig sacrifice. Many of us we're gonna have a breakfast at the church today. You call a meeting, we're gonna have it, and you're a chicken, and you say, I'm gonna offer the eggs. But the pigs and the sacrifice and the sanctuary say, wait a minute, we can't be a part of this. So in order to get bacon, I got to die. In order to get this sacrifice, Jesus had to die. And because Jesus had to die, He died for the sins of the world. And this wasn't an easy death, because He struggled in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, oh Father, wishing that this cup, oh, could pass Him by. But He came to the conclusion, like many of us, if we're going to offer a better sacrifice, we've got to learn to say, Father, not my will, but Thy will be done. Oh, let me say that again. Not my will, but Thy will be done, which means, Father, I'll do what You tell me to do. I'll go where You tell me to go. I'll say what You tell me to say. I'll change what You tell me to change. And Jesus, on in the Garden of Gethsemane, had to go where God told Him to go and do what God told Him to do and change the world, because He would have to die. He said, nevertheless, not my will, came out of that garden, oh, and was crucified, mocked and scorned. Deacons, will you come? Are you willing to offer a better sacrifice? They crucified Him. They beat Him. They mocked Him. They scorned Him. They put a crown of thorns on His head. They put that cross on His back, led Him through the streets of Jerusalem. This is what true Christmas is all about, because Jesus was born to what? To die. Born to die. They put their cross on His back, led Him to the streets of Jerusalem, took Him to that hill called Golgotha, nailed Him to the cross, raised Him up between two thieves. But they couldn't take His life. He had to give His life away. Gave His life away. And He died. He took Him down from that cross, put Him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed dead for one day. He stayed dead for 2 days. But I'm so glad that the Bible says that He got up on the third day. Oh, He had to sacrifice. He had to die. That's what Christmas is all about. Do we live as if Christ had to die for what we believe in? Let me ask you that question today. Do we live as if Christ had to die? What if it was your son who died for you? Praise God that our military is coming back home, but oh, we ought to praise them for serving, because somebody had to die for me to have the freedom to preach this morning. Hello, somebody. Jesus had to die. But He got up on that third day with all power in His hands, that you may live today. And if you are here today, you do not know Christ, give your life to Jesus Christ. Salvation is not free. Your salvation was bought with a price. God's only Son. If you're here today and you do not know Him, we want you to come forward right now and say, preacher, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. And start offering a better sacrifice. You're here today and you've been convicted because you haven't been offering a better sacrifice. You've been caning around in the church. You haven't been giving God the best that you have to offer. whether it is financially, whether it is with your gifts, talents, and abilities, you've been carrying around. It's time for you to recommit your life to Jesus Christ, because Christ had to die for you. You've been bought with a price. You are not your own. Don't you know you are a soldier?
Hello again. This is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. Before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. Thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you pray that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Falls Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listen throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family. Because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby. Thank you for and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home. And put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello again. This and is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life is changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program. And I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms, and we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it, tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God. And I believe God can do it for us. And we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-arts build, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com.